welcome to some more seaside chats with Lance Cantor today. He's just been on some wild Celtic adventures. And we're sat here by the cove at Portland Cross Castle. We've just been around the castle. It's incredible. Where the kings would lie in state and they would take them on boats all the way around the coastal areas to Iona. So do you want to share a little bit where your wild adventures you've just been on?
Yeah. So just last week I met some friends. I've been doing this for years, but I'm trying to be more intentional with it now, of taking people to some of the thin places in Scotland that are related to the early Celtic saints and some of the incredible and dramatic things that surrounded their lives. And so my friends were way up north, and so I decided to take them, to meet them up there and take them to a place in Inverness called Craig Fadrig. And Craig Fadrig was actually the hill fort and the capital for the High King of the Picts during the time that St. Columba had come across. And so if you've heard, I think, Jane, you've talked about Dunad,
yep,
in the past on some of these podcasts. Well, Craig Fadrig would have been kind of the Pictish counterpart of Dunad. And that was where the High King of the Picts, that was kind of the capital of probably the whole Pictish world, certainly the Highland Picts. And so anyway, but there's quite a story. The reason we chose to go there is because there's quite a dramatic story that took place there.
Oh, come on, yeah.
So.
It's exciting.
Yeah. It's quite amazing. So literally just a couple years after Columba came to Scotland and he kind of got Iona established, the first major journey he took was to go across the country, and he went up what's called the Great Glen. It kind of cut Scotland in half and the Highlands. And he followed up the Great Glen, and at the end of the Great Glen is where Inverness is now. And at the time, that would have been the capital city however big it was, of the Pictish kind of empire. The Picts were quite a substantial people group. And so anyway, Columba goes to meet the High King of the Picts. Now, he's just a missionary to Scotland. He came across from Ireland. He's a missionary. He wasn't that well known. He was actually had been in a broken place. You know, he'd gone through some really hard times. Comes to Scotland as a missionary to reach out to the Pictish people, and he decides his first thing is he's going to go right to the High King of the Picts. So on his way there, the High King gets word that this missionary, this guy Columba, is coming to him, and he doesn't want to have anything to do with him, and so he called and commanded that the gates of the fortress would be closed and that an iron bar would be placed down in front of the gates to hold them, you know, really closed. Well, Columba walks right up to the gate, and essentially the account is that he kind of made the sign of the cross on the gate. Back then, that was their way of demonstrating their spiritual authority in that place. And so essentially by doing that, he commanded the gates open, and literally once he did that, the iron bar shattered and the gates just flung open supernaturally. Nobody pushed them or anything. There's huge, heavy wooden gates.
Wow, power.
Yeah. And so it was such a dramatic picture of spiritual power, of his supernatural spiritual and authority, you know, that he could command the gates open and they responded. And then he walked right through the doors and into the heart of the king's palace, and he confronted the king of the Picts. And what's incredible about this is the end of the story, and you know, he got the attention of the king by demonstrating his power and authority. He got the attention of the king. And the end of the story for that king is that he was eventually converted. And we can't tell through history if it happened right then and there or if it was, you know, through some further meetings over the years. But when the High King of a people group gets converted, that opened the door for the gospel to just sweep through the world of the Picts, the Pictish people. And so what I do on these trips is to go to a place like that, and I'll take the history that I know, and then we kind of sit there with the Lord and say, okay, Lord, show us behind the scenes what was happening. And the little word I use for that is spiritual archaeology. But it's just asking the Lord to unveil even more and show spiritually what's taking on behind the scenes. And on this particular trip, the Lord showed me something new that I hadn't seen before. And he said that this had become, because of this dramatic encounter, this had become a place of unveiling. And this man, Columba, that came across as a missionary, all of a sudden, when the doors fling open and he walks right into the king's palace and confronts the king face to face, it's like God peeled back the veil on who this man was. And God peeled back the veil and revealed that this is a man of God. This is a man that worships the one true God, that has a level of power and authority that none of the Pictish Druids could match. None of them could compare with what he walked in. And ultimately, that led to the conversion of the king. But yeah, it also revealed Columba kind of to the world and or to the people in Scotland, and allowed them to see, okay, wow, this guy operates in a power that we've never seen before. And 8 years later, this missionary that came across from Ireland was asked to be the one to choose and anoint the Gaelic kings of the Celtic kingdom at Dunad, of his own people. And so he went from not a position of incredible power within just a few years by demonstrating the authority that he carried in the Lord, that was recognized. And so I felt that this was a place that we could almost pray from for an unveiling, when it was God's time to unveil.
Wow.
And so the Lord showed us a few people and circumstances that we felt it was time for them to be revealed with what they're carrying, because we knew these people, we knew the circumstances and what they were carrying. And the Lord really spoke to us and said, pray for them specifically, because now's the time for them to be revealed and for them to kind of step onto the scene when they've been working in the background for many years in their different areas of ministry and life.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Because it's very much like the unveiling of the influence they've been doing in the secret place where the Lord's trusted them, and in the hidden places and the hidden secrets. Because I remember reading the book of Columba, you know, Don and I, about how one night he was up praying, and one of the guys that he mentored went to the door, and the light was so bright through the keyhole and the bright light at the bottom, and Columba sensed that somebody was watching him, and he was waiting for a relation of him to come to write down what the Lord was revealing to him. And he opened up the book, and the Lord showed him secrets that had been hidden from the beginning of time in Scripture. And the next day, he had to pray for this one of the men that he was mentoring, because he would have gone blind. He said, in fact, he had to pray the Lord didn't kill him, because the presence of the Lord and the light was coming through the keyhole, through the bottom of the door. I haven't got it with me now, so I had to read it out. But it was incredible, and that's the power he moved in. And Bridget and Patrick and so many saints I'm reading about right now that are unknown. They're not famous. They haven't got books written about them, but they moved in the Pictic power and the Celtic saints. I just believe it's because their heart was so turned towards Yahweh. And we were only discussing earlier how they didn't read it and dither around and think, oh, should I do it, should I not? They read it, they believed it by faith, and they walked in it, and they did it.
Yeah, that's kind of the sense I've had when I looked at their story. It's like, just what you said, they read it and believed it. We read it and believe it and say, wow, isn't that cool? They read it, believed it, and then did it.
Did it,
and they did the things that Jesus did, and they did crazy things. You know, they did things that we don't read about in the Bible.
That's incredible. Oh, wow, the unveiling. That's beautiful.
Yeah. And I felt like, because when I go to these places, it's interesting. Sometimes the Lord's shown me so much that I think, okay, there can't be more here. And then I'll go back another time, and he just shows a difference. Sometimes it's a mantle that's been left there that, you know, people can pick up and begin to minister in that mantle. Or in this, I just believe that the Lord said it's a place of unveiling and revealing, and it's a place where we could stand and kind of release that over the people that the Lord highlighted. And so it was quite a powerful time, and now I'm interested to kind of watch these people's lives and to see how that plays out.
Oh, we're just so thankful that we honor you today, Lance, for the journey that you're on, that you heard the Lord's call, you heard it in your heart, and that you're just going for it. And it's just incredible. And I just want to thank you, Lord, for the people all across the earth. We're just looking at Scotland right now, and Ireland, and turning our face to that place, like Dinard was the overkingdom of Argyll and parts of Ireland, Kilmartin Glen. But we're just looking for our position. And be encouraged today, listeners, that whatever Yahweh's laid on your heart, just go for it. You know, some of you are in your 80s, you've got small children. It's not about age, it's about hearing the word of the Lord, hearing the call, and doing it by faith, whatever he's asked you to do, and positioning you. So we just release that unveiling over you today, and we thank you, Yahweh, for that unveiling. You are revealed. It says hidden here and revealed in heaven. But there are times when we're hidden in the heavenly places, but we are revealed on the earth, that things that we've seen in heaven, the things the Lord has revealed to us, are revealed on the earth. You are influencers. You are kings of the day.
You are
people of authority, kingship. And we just release that unveiling, revealing today. We're going to talk a little bit more about his recent adventures. And he discovered a tree that's ancient.
Yeah. So in the little village of Fortingall, which is, it's in, I guess, Perthshire is the county it's in. This little village, Fortingall, that's kind of at the base of a glen called Glen Lyon. There's a tree there, and at the moment it's in a churchyard, an old church there, and it's in this churchyard. But this tree, called the Fortingall Yew, is the oldest tree in Europe.
Wow.
And this tree is 5,000 years old.
5,000 years old?
5,000 years old. And so to put it into perspective, when they were building the pyramids, this tree had already been there living and alive for 1,000 years when they started building the pyramids. It was already 1,000 years old. Yeah, and so because of that, the people in this area, after they realized it had been alive for a long time, it became revered as a sacred tree. And so over 5,000 years, you have different people groups coming through this area. You know, you have some of the ancient monuments of these stone circles and stuff from pre-recorded history, and so we can only guess at what those are. And then you, more modern than that, you get to the Pictish people that they didn't have a written language, but they had their stories are carved in stone. And so we learn a lot about the Picts from their stones. But if you imagine this tree has been there through all of it, and because of it, it was revered as the sacred place. And so it factored into the spiritual life of all these different people groups over time. And interestingly, of course, the Celtic saints, one of their tactics was whenever they went to reach out to a community or whatever, was that they would sometimes go to the most sacred site, whether it be a stone circle or in this case, you know, sometimes it's a sacred grove of trees, or in this case, this sacred yew tree. And that's where they would go and establish it as the spiritual center for them, which is interesting. Now we find that there's a church even now on this site. But over time, there would have been any number of things identifying this, and it most certainly would have been marked off as almost like the stone circles, you know, that your average person was never allowed to go up to a stone circle or go inside it. That was a place for the Druids to minister. And so it would have had that air of mystery and authority and fear of getting close to the sacred yew tree. And so, of course, Adamnan went there and claimed it as a spiritual spot for Christianity.
He was pretty bold, wasn't he?
As
we said in the previous podcast, he read it, he believed it by faith, and he did it.
Yeah. And he didn't, and I think sometimes he used a demonstration of authority to get the king's attention, but to get the people's attention, you know, these people knew if they got close to that yew tree, they'd either be put to death by the druids or they might be struck down by the gods themselves. And so there was a fear and a reverence around these things. And so for Adamnan to go up to their most sacred spot and begin worshiping God on that spot, and he didn't get struck down, and the druids weren't able to touch him, then all of a sudden he had the ear of the people, because he was doing something that they couldn't do, and that even the druids may have feared, you know, repercussions. And so, yeah, his boldness is incredible.
So what we're really saying is that he would be moving in the power of God, the power of the Lord, the Holy Spirit within him, and he would take authority and great authority, and he would change history, regions, nations, the Pictic nations, the Celtic saints. And one thing I really loved about when I read about the Celtic saints is the respect they had for women. Women were greatly respected.
Yeah.
And, I find that, I mean, we've got places in the world today where women are sold for a dollar. But they really respected the women. And they respected them if they worked, they were educated. They really respected the women in the community, which is incredible.
Yeah.
And I'm really interested, you were sharing with me, the listeners today, you'll love this, about what happened when Columba was laid to rest.
Yeah.
And how St. Andrew's famous university here in Scotland was birthed.
Yeah, so it's a fascinating story, and it's not one, it's not one that's heard very much or known, but actually, so Adamnan was the guy that was the saint, that he was the missionary to this region of Scotland where this yew tree is, and so Saint Adamnan, when he died, or just before he died, he asked that he would be put on a stretcher and that they would carry him through Glen Lyon and just continue walking until the first strap of the stretcher broke. And he said, when that breaks, that's where he wants to be buried. But he also said, in that spot, he wanted them to build a monastery and a training center. And so the people honored his request, and he died, and they put him on the stretcher, and they started carrying him. And they get to this area that's now a tiny little village in the middle of nowhere called Dull, D-U-L-L. And that's where the strap broke, and so they buried him there, and they built a monastery there, and they built a training center there. Well, it turns out, because Adamnan was such a prominent figure in that area, and he'd seen the conversion of the Pictish people in that area, that this training center became really well known, and it actually became the center of learning in Scotland at that time, and it was the place where all the prominent people in Scotland would send their sons and daughters. They would send them there for their training. You know, that was their version of a university back then. And it was interesting because it was the prominent one. It was where all the prominent people sent their kids from all over Scotland. And that was in the early 700s. So say sometime around 710 AD is when that was established. 700 years later, when they established St. Andrew's University, what they used to establish St. Andrew's was they moved this training center. They moved the not the physical building, but the teachers and everything. They moved all that to St. Andrew's to establish St. Andrew's. And so what we think is the first university in Scotland of St. Andrew's was actually in operation in Dol for 700 years before it even moved there. And it was the prominent people of Scotland that were sending their kids there to be trained. And so it's interesting now, with the year we're in, it's been just over 700 years.
Wow.
Since St. Andrews has been a university. And we think, man, that's amazing. St. Andrews has been around for 700 years. And yet the thought that the precursor to St. Andrews was in operation for 700 years before it ever moved there. And so again, we get a picture of the incredible influence that the Celtic saints had on this land and the foundations that they laid that are somehow forgotten, but they're no less important or significant or substantial. And it lets us see, okay, the foundations are something we can go back to and realize that there was a solid spiritual foundation for what has now become St. Andrews University.
Wow, that's quite a lot to take in, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's incredible. And listeners today, this is what we're talking about, your influences, each and every one of you. The unveiling, the unrevealing, as Jesus was revealed, when he was born and when he was revealed, his ministry started at 33 years of age. There's no time or no place, no limits on it when Yahweh suddenly moves on the places where you've been hidden and you've been kept in that place ready for such a time as this. So you are influencers in our nation right now, and that is just incredible that lots of these places in Scotland and across the wild Ireland, Scotland, Wales, were birthed out of the Celtic saints, out of Yahweh's heart. It's birthed out of Yahweh's heart.
Yeah. And they're people that I venture a guess that most people listening to this, most people in Scotland have never heard of St. Adamnan unless you've heard it through one of us talking about the Celtic saints. And yet the foundations that he laid with this university and with some other things have certainly changed Scotland and have influenced the rest of the world.
And we're, in a sense, each one of us, for want of a better word, the modern day influencers, and what we do and what we say and how we, you know, walk through our lives is bringing heaven to earth, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so be encouraged, listeners. Like Columba and the Celtic saints, get into the history books, get into your, read about it, believe it. Not, you know, the word of the Lord is incredible. We love scripture. But also do some research on the Celtic saints and you'll see they walked in power, dunamis power. They walked in integrity, their characters, the way they moved around the earth, the way they cared for one another. They lived in community. You worked together in that place. I know during COVID it's been really difficult where we've been isolated quite a lot and wearing masks and, you know, different things that have isolated us. But we're born for community. We're born for each other. We're born to be together.
Yeah.
And we can take a massive leaf out of the books of the Celtic saints of how they worked together and moved together and cared for one another.
Yeah. And I think just something maybe to point out to remember, these guys were all missionaries.
They weren't
the leaders of the nation. That
rich
just
landowners.
Happened. Yeah. They weren't big and wealthy and famous and stuff like that. They were missionaries that just knew their place in the kingdom. They knew their position in the Lord. They knew the power of Christ dwelling in them and the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. And they made themselves available. It's almost like I have this image that they emptied themselves and gave the Holy Spirit freedom to move. You know, they created a container within themselves that the Holy Spirit was free to move through. And he did. And I think that's part of the secret of their power is they emptied themselves of, you know, of, in a sense of, they didn't empty themselves of who they were and their identity, but, you know, they really, they gave themselves over to God to be used by him. And when they did, ordinary people began to do these incredibly extraordinary things that are still impacting us today in the Western world.
And, I mean, it is incredible. I've just been doing a bit of research and study in Acts 2 and, you know, the day of Pentecost and what happened there. But they were available, waiting, He says, you know, when Jesus ascended back into his Father, that, you know, wait on the Holy Spirit. And I've done quite a lot of studies on Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, paraclete, it means come alongside, brush shoulders. And, you know, do we really believe the Holy Spirit is within us? Do we believe the Spirit of the living God?
Yeah.
God,
yeah.
Majesty, Yah, you know, Yahweh, his way, lives in each one of us. One of my friends made me laugh a few weeks ago. He was quoting on a teaching. He said, oh, God is folded up inside of you. He's just waiting to get out. You got to let him out.
Wow. Yeah.
I love it. Oh, well, thank you once again. I so love these chats.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're very
beautiful.
Welcome. And I really do. I've thoroughly enjoyed
it's these lovely. And thank you, listeners, to our Seaside Chats with Lance Cantor.